Okay, I'm all ready to go now. Let us pray. Holy One, we are confused by life and confused by death, and yet you stand with us, walk beside us, and try to grant us wisdom. May wisdom be in this place this day. May others encounter wisdom because of these words or in spite of them. Amen. What is a saint? Who could be a saint? Who could ever be a saint? Today is All Saints' Day, All Souls' Day, and we acknowledge the saints. Those people who seem something more than just human, the ones who give us hope and example, the ones we aspire to be like. The Roman Catholic Church has very specific and rigorous rules for who is a saint. Protestants, not so sure. We seem to live between that image of the saint and Paul's letters, which describe all of the members of the churches who are struggling as the saints. In the Roman Catholic Church, a saint can be an intermediary between God and human. For Protestants, no one, no matter how holy or how self-giving, is ever an intermediary, ever comes between us and God. But maybe an example, maybe a teacher. Sometimes I think I'm going to be a terrible example. One of those ones, you know, you learn not to do that. But I'd like to share a description of a saint which is, in fact, written by a good Jewish Buddhist, Leonard Cohen. And in some ways, it's a wonderfully Canadian description. What is a saint? A saint is someone who has achieved a remote human possibility. It is impossible to say what that possibility is. I think it has something to do with the energy of love. Contact with this energy results in the exercise of a kind of balance in the chaos of existence. A saint does not dissolve the chaos. If he did, the world would have changed long ago. I do not think that a saint dissolves the chaos even for himself. For there is something arrogant and warlike in the notion of a man setting the universe in order. It is a kind of balance that is his glory. He rides the drifts like an escaped ski. His course is the caress of the hill. His track is the drawing of the snow in a moment of its particular arrangement with wind and rock. Something in him so loves the world that he gives himself to the laws of gravity and chance. Far from flying with the angels, he traces with the fidelity of a seismograph needle the state of the solid, bloody landscape. That's an amazing image of a lone skier tracing the powder, riding on soft powder to keep from sinking, so loving the world that he gives himself and his life to the strange and shifting gravity of the world and chance encounters, both terrible and wonderful. None of us thinks of ourselves as a saint. But saint has another meaning too. In the Bible, the book of Revelation is the description of a strange and wonderful dream. And in that dream, the dreamer sees a great host of people from every nation, every people, every tribe, every language, both men and women. The dreamer is asked, "Who are these people dressed in white?" And the questioner tells him, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal, the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." We're not very comfortable with that blood language, but the images of people who have been through trial and who have been saved by sacrifice, and these are the saints in light. These are the saints come through trial and saved by sacrifice who will never again hunger or thirst, comforted in the shadow of God's throne. Very powerful images, powerful metaphors for the people saved through trial and by sacrifice. Christ made and makes an invitation to the people he met to be something more than they thought they ever could be. They could leave behind the expectations that sucked them down into the powder. the expectations that they had to act in hurtful, self-interested ways, the expectation that violence was the only answer. Instead, Christ taught that small acts of kindness and sharing led to larger acts of resistance and greater understanding. The whole of the rest of the biblical story is the story of people who tried and tried and usually failed and sometimes gloriously succeeded in living up to that teaching. So today we celebrate the souls who struggle before us, those who tried and tried and often failed and sometimes gloriously succeeded in being more than they believed was possible. And we remember them not as unsullied saints, but as those whose struggles inform our lives. Sometimes we learn by their example of self-giving and grace and sacrifice, and sometimes we learn by the struggles that they lost. And we pray that today, this day, we will live up to the best of those examples. And tomorrow we must make the same prayer, for it is not a struggle that ever ends, but it is an opportunity that is ours anew every day, no matter if we lost the struggle yesterday. The image of the saints in light is not an image of those who never struggled, who had it easy. It's not the image of people who were somehow supernaturally good or unrealistically holy. John the dreamer saw it as an image of those who turned in their struggles to the Christ, the light of the world, saints from every nation of the world. John's image is of people who are redeemed by sacrifice. I'm not comfortable with sacrifice. I like my warm house, my dry car. I like good food, a little wine. I have trouble sacrificing my coffee in the morning, let alone my comfort. And I live in a culture that really distrusts sacrifice. People willing to give up meat for the good of the planet. Ooh. People willing to bicycle to work for the good of the city. Madmen. People willing to camp out in a public place to beg for change to an economic system that is destroying our future. Good grief, they must be nuts. We all know people are suffering and living in poverty and unable to get schooling or health care or feed their families because we have constructed a system so corrupt that having a place to live in many places is seen as undue luxury, even in some parts of our city. But demonstrating about that, or standing on a corner with a sign, or marching or camping outside to draw attention to it, those sacrifices, sheer madness. Surely it's irresponsible to sacrifice our time, our work time, our comfort, our privacy in that way. So it's hard to imagine that today, in some parts of the world, there are people who are willing to risk their lives to go to church, risk their lives to overthrow a government, to fight for food for other people's families. Around the world, there are people in prison who sacrifice their freedom just to ask for food, the right to show their faces, or work, or for their friends to live without fear. People have sacrificed freedom, health, even their lives, for somebody else's future. The courage of people standing against the dark and peaceful action, this is our inspiration. On this Feast of the Saints, we acknowledge those who have gone before and the saints who are no longer with us and the people who taught us about the light, about courage and duty, about love and faith, who taught us that it is better to light a candle than curse the darkness. So we also pray for those who are still here, those who act despite fear each day for the welfare of others. We pray also for those who lose the struggle every day to do just that and yet rise again the next day to try again. And so we pray that today we will have the courage to live up to the best and brightest of the examples we've been given. And tomorrow when we rise, let's pray again. For each day we are given both struggle and opportunity to live as the saints in light. May it be so. And may we too be raised up as if we were on eagle's wings.